Welcome to our Caravanserai Yuletide Sessions, held at the Courtyard Delhi this year, December 5th, 2012. My name's Mac Dunlop, and this is The Source FM 96.1. It's my pleasure to introduce you to this, our Yuletide Caravanserai here at the Courtyard Delhi. We don't call it a caravanserai because of tin boxes that trundle down the motorway into Cornwall and back again every summer. We call it a caravanserai because caravan refers to companies of people who would journey vast distances from Europe to the Orient and trade goods. Of course, it would take years to travel that distance and to come back. And on those journeys, those people were called caravans, and the places where they stopped were often places where different caravans or companies of people would meet. And those places where they met and had a fire and shared some food, told stories, shared music, poetry, those places were called caravanserais. And so this is our kind of modern day caravanserai. And as a toast to welcome you here, I have a little poem about Christmas, because obviously there's a lot going on. I was saying to Ray earlier on today, actually, you know, I'm sure there's actually a level in Dante's Inferno where they just play Christmas music on the tannoy 24/7. So this is a little poem about that. Crimbo is a seasonal mingling of the jingling of bells, though sometimes, quite frankly, it can be hell. You see, my feeling of unease comes more from the Grinch side of me. I mean, I feel relatively sure that as I get older, I'm not so amored with this seasonal tradition. And here's some of my reasons. Firstly, why should I comply with all these Yuletide expectations? Putting up the same old decorations, sending cards to family, friends, and all those distant relations. Now you might say, hang on there, mon frere, what about all the good cheer? Yeah, what about all the toasting and boasting about hosting the Holy Ghost in the house at this time of year? Well, you can accuse me of being a Scrooge, see, but what have I got to lose if I choose to muse upon this particular can of worms? Fundamentally, I get dismayed these days when all I hear is, ho, 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 yeah, but like, you know, so, what'd you get me? You know, that doesn't feel very Christmassy. And if I say, nothing, it's like, yeah, but like really, you know, how much did you actually spend on me? And if I'm honest about this, another question on my list is, how did we end up with like a tree in the front room? Is that supposed to lift the gloom of the shortest day of the year, or what? I mean, if a tree could think, would it not imagine we must be complete idiots to guillotine it from its rootstock and bling it up like some Glastonbury rave big top? And what about all the pine needles you have to keep clearing up? Anyway, isn't the tree supposed to be an ancient pagan symbol of fertility, which sits a little controversially into the dominant theology of the manger in Bethlehem, with the three kings stargazing their way to the nativity scene again and again and again and again? But putting all that aside, another big question to my mind is, how did we end up with Father Christmas? I mean, whether you say Santa Claus or old Saint Nick, this red suit of fat man tradition sticks an almighty contradiction into the mix of these seasonal traditional depictions. I mean, one, I got the Pope on the radio. Two, I got the Queen speechifying from her bungalow. Three, I got the little drummer boy in his Christmas panto scenarios. Four, I got Death by a Thousand Christmas special shows. Five, I got Mary and the Nativity and like the glow-in-the-dark halos. Six, I've got Scrooge and his ghostly alter egos. Seven, I've got carolers singing Crimbo. Eight, I got the office parties with the propane-heated gazebos. Did I say Scrooge with his ghostly alter egos?
Yeah.
All right, I'll finish off with drunken turkey, toast, and impresarios. I put myself in there, just to be clear. And 12, you end up with another dozen reasons to pretend you're going ho, ho, ho. So how did we end up with all this good cheer? What is Christmas? What does it mean, and why are we here at this time of year? You know, because I walk down my road and I notice that there's people who are living alone, who are maybe prone to, like, absent-mindedness, you know? And even though it's Christmas, you know, maybe they think that they're related to me or any one of my neighbors. And I think, well, I can't really say, hey, old lady, you know, you got it wrong, darling. We're not part of your throng. We kind of hardly get along ourselves, let alone really know each other. because I'm thinking it's Christmas and the impetus is for good cheer. So instead I say, well, look, why don't you just come in for a second to the old deer? I mean, if I can make sense of a decorated tree, this scene of the nativity, and a fat man climbing down my chimney, then maybe the old lady's not so crazy to believe that the whole world could be one big family. So maybe Yuletide is something we should strive to keep every 365 days of our lives. So welcome one and all to this, our courtyard Yuletide caravanserai. Thanks very much. Cheers. And it's my great pleasure now to introduce you to somebody you've been listening to already. It's Helen and Arthur Spears. How about a big hand?
We're going to play you a couple of klezmerish tunes. This is a French one.
And Arthur Spear, ladies and gentlemen. That was fantastic. We'll hear more from them later. What kind of music is that, by the way, Helen?
Klezmer.
Kind of.
Yeah. Kind of klezmer. I'm never sure which ones are klezmer and which ones are sort of ones that get put in with them.
Oh, okay. Is there a name for that tune?
It's called Kem.
I thought we'd take a little break from the performance just so we could go down to the kitchen and have a chat with Ray Pollard about the starters and the soup. I just thought in the rush of everything that I'd come and ask you about the menu that you created and designed for the Courtyard Deli so that people listening to the show would get an audio taste of the kind of food that comes in between the entertainment that they're listening to. And can't quite remember what we started off with. We had the Toast of Cornish Mead, which was lovely.
Yeah, and before that we had, on arrival, the bread and dukkah.
And what's dukkah?
Yeah, dukkah is an Arabic... Well, you dip your bread in olive oil and then you dip it in the dukkah, which is made up of crushed nuts and different spices. So they vary depending on different house favourites and things. But this one had hazelnuts and pistachios and coriander seeds. So all the spices are toasted separately. Sesame seeds, there was fennel seeds, and then it all just gets slightly crushed together, so you've got a nice kind of textured dip to add to your bread.
And then the next course was the soup course.
That was the soup. That was the watercress and rosewater soup with ras al hanout roasted vegetables.
What's ras al hanout?
Ras al hanout literally means the king of spices. It's also called the tête de la marché, which is the head of the market. So if you, in Morocco especially, it's a North African spice blend. In Morocco especially, everyone will always pick up some ras al hanout. And again, it varies slightly depending on different spice sellers' favourite blends. And some people will blend it at home as well. But it is used in... It's the kind of... I don't know, what equivalent do we have here? Maybe parsley, the way we use something as simple as that, and we'll put it in a lot of different dishes. It will get used all the time. Almost every Moroccan and a lot of Arabic dishes will have ras al hanout in there somewhere.
Sounds really nice. Brilliant. Well, we better get back on with the show. This is the Caravanserai Yuletide Sessions 2012, recorded live at the Courtyard Deli. Coming to you from The Source FM 96.1.
This is a Christmas poem from my little book, Men from Mars in Bumping Cars. Only a fiver, buy it early for Christmas. And basically, I was a teacher in a special school. I used to say to the kids, what do you having for Christmas? They say, Xbox 360, Mr. Barrett, Xbox. And I don't even know what an Xbox 360 is, really. But it just reminded me of where I come from in the Midlands. Your Christmas present was called your Christmas box. What are you having for your Christmas box? So this is called my Christmas box. There's a bit of singing in this. Please join in. Thank you. We'll have an X-Men, X-Files, X-Box, no socks, X-Factor, Max by Graves, no war graves over Christmas. I want empathy, an MP3, a hemp-free, hump-free, grump-free, humperdink, have a drink over Christmas. And oh, come all ye faithful, oh, strictly come dancing. Come on, come on, curmudgeonly comfy chair of a Christmas. A Doctor Doolittle, Doctor Who, PS2, Snoop Dogg, Poop Scoop, Scooby-Doo, Dooby-Dooby-Doo, Be-Dooby-Dooby-Dooby-Dooby-Doo, Be-Dooby-Dooby of a Christmas. A God rest ye merry gentlemen, eat, drink and be very, very, very merry. Nana cherry, cherubim, seraphim, cherry bee, baby sham, baby shambles, baby Jesus of a Christmas. An electric ladyland, electronic toy, toy story, Tolstoy, toy boy, lady shave, lady bird, lady smith, black mambazo of a Christmas. We'll have a Kung Fu Panda pandemic, planned pandemonium, potted plants, Pirates of Penzance, pants of a Christmas. A no God iPod, I want, I got, what a lot, why not, chestnut hot, gut rot of a Christmas. We'll have a Band-Aid, slow fade, old Slade, tease made, Lucasade, look at my presents of a Christmas. I want a no Mugabe, Punjabi, Kohlrabi, Westminster Abbey, get flabby, Kimasabi, Abu Dhabi, Yabba Dabba Doo, Fandabby Dozy, Beaky Mick and Titch of a Christmas. I don't believe angels exist, because I'm a bit of an atheist. But I hope you all have an Archangel Gabriel, hark the herald angels sing, wing ding, wild thing, angel delight, no fights, men in tights, fairy lights, angel cake, William Blake, Angel Clare, love everywhere. Angels above, peace and love, peace and love, peace and love of a Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank
you. Rob Barrett, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'm not feeling well. I'm a little delirious, so that's kind of my excuse for taking him seriously. I don't know what you're all doing. That was great. Thanks, Rob. And it's my great pleasure now to introduce you to Penelope's shuttle. So without further ado, and just so we have enough time to listen to Penelope properly, ladies and gentlemen, a big round of applause, please, for Penelope.
Thanks, Mark. It's lovely to be here. I'm going to read a few poems from that book later on, am I? Am I having time?
Yes.
So I'm going to read some newer poems and some that are perhaps a bit lighter than the majority of the poems in the 268 pages of my new and selected. Luck. Cupboards left open bring good luck, say the old wives. An old cupboard left open brings the luckiest luck. Last winter, I nailed all my cupboards shut, weary of my incessant good fortune. A brand new 50-quid note on the path every day, a rose in veil by any other name. Enough! My cupboards knew too much, openly spying on me, ruining me with cornucopias and godsends. So even though these crutches are no picnic, and I'm sad my house burnt down, I regret nothing, happy to live in a ditch without cupboards, making my own hedgerow luck now. Thank you very much. This is the only poem I've ever written about football. Peter Crouch gets married. Peter Crouch gets married despite an incident-crowded and media-blighted courtship. Love conquers all. Though in the grounds of the wedding hotel, people feel anything might happen, even now. Abby looks lovely in a bridal gown and a half. When the pair of specially trained falcons swoop down from a clear sky, bearing the wedding rings in their nuptial beaks, the guests feel life is so bright it hurts to look. And who can disagree? Only the ancient trees in the park, frowning their shaggy eyebrows of green wisdom. If you're interested, they got married in the Stapleford Park Hotel in Leicestershire. And they did have falcons. I owe that information to the page of the Metro that I just happened to glance at when I was on a train in London. So, sort of a fan poem. There's a poem by the Scottish poet Edwin Morgan, which is about love and hate. And so this is a sort of homage to his poem, which he calls A View of Things. What I love about fairy tales is their cruelty. What I hate about mirrors is their charm. What I love about owls is their singing. What I hate about the sea is its undulance. What I love about my pencil is its rubber. What I hate about yesterday is its willpower. What I love about your ostrich is its poetry. What I hate about tomorrow is its tongue. What I love about a circle is its roundness. What I hate about wisdom is its day off. What I love about trains is their spirituality. What I hate about shoes is their naked ambition. What I love about love is its belief in itself. What I hate about heartache is its smile. What I love about silence is all its pianos. What I hate about a spider is its simplicity. What I love about maps is their melancholy. What I hate about grief is that it won't go away. What I love about memory is that you are still there. I'm going to read a poem about my dad, because it's Christmas and family. Old-fashioned dad. My old-fashioned dad built this house. He built it with slide rule and silence. He built it from a huddle of stars, this ordinary house. My old-fashioned dad was good with his hands. He loved pebble dash and putty, hedges and gutters, nails and drains. He built a house you could sleep in for years, a house you could keep like a secret. My old-fashioned dad built this house on the outskirts of love, not far from his birthplace, near the town of sunrise and sunset. Whenever I smell rain on the lavender or find it hard to tell a lie, I think of Dad humming Bing Crosby tunes while shaving or musing, my dad. Every house should be built by an old-fashioned dad who gave up smoking 40 years ago, a dad dependable as a kitchen chair from Bentles and who potters about forever like a radio broadcasting time's old sweet song.
Now it just remains for me to ask Dan O'Shea to play us into your main course.
Please have a plectrum.
Yes.
Plectrums are magical things. You buy six of them from Trego Mills, and by the end of a week, you're back at Trego Mills. If I had all the plectrums I'd ever bought, I could make a house. Possibly not like an old-fashioned dad, though. I've been trying to grow my hair and beard so I look like I do on the poster, which was a photo from about 2 years ago. Anyway, this is a song called Patrick Street, and it's about a sailor who comes home from sea, and he goes on a bit of a jaunt around the town, you know, paints it red, and ends up going back to the ship in a way he didn't entirely anticipate. Come gather round, you sailors, and listen to me song. This other trick was played on me, I won't detain you long. Came home from sea the other day, and a girl I chanced to meet. She's asked me up to dance with her along in Patrick Street. Says I'm a pretty fair maid, I can't dance too well. Besides, I'm bound for Newry Town, where my parents, they do dwell. I've been at sea these last few years, saved up £50. My parents are expecting me tonight in Newry Town. Well, since you cannot dance too well, you can have a treat. You can have a glass of brandy and something nice to eat. At 9 o'clock this evening, I'll leave you to your train. Don't forget to call on me when you come back again. She seemed to be so friendly, I went and hired a car. We drove on down to Patrick Street and on arrival there, the people on the other side, I'm sure I heard them say, don't be in need of a jaunty car before he gets away. Whiskey came in, and when everyone had had their fill, the dancing did begin. Me and my love, we danced around or to a merry tune, while the other couples dipped a double shuffle round the room. The dancing being over, for bed we did prepare, but soon I fell quite fast asleep, a truth I do declare. My darling and my gold were gone, my £50 had fled, and there I was, myself alone, stark naked, lying in bed. While looking all around me, nothing could I spy, but a woman's skirt and jumper at the foot of a bed did lie. I wrung my hands, I tore my hair, crying, oh, what will I do? Very well, sweet Newry Town, I swear I'll never see you. So, when night time it had come again, daylight was away, I put on the skirt and jumper and I went out on the quay. When I got aboard the ship, the sailors all did say, Jack has got much prettier since he has been away. Is this the new spring fashion you went to buy on shore? Where's the shop that sells it? Do you think they might have more? The captain said to me, Jack, you work for Newry Town. You might have got a better suit than that for £50. I might have got a better suit if I'd had the chance. I met a girl in High Street, she's asked me to the dance. Dance my own destruction, and I danced it so complete. I swear I'll never go back again to the dance in Patrick Street. All you jolly fellows, and a warning take by me, always keep good company when you go out on a spree. Steer well clear of Patrick Street or else you'll rue the day, in a woman's skirt and jumper they'll ship you back to sea.
Sorry about that, folks. I know that was... people seem to like songs about cross-dressing, I've noticed.
What can I say?
Next time Dan comes, I'm sure he'll be more properly attired. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave you now to have your main course, a kind of Middle Eastern flavour to it. So I hope you're enjoying the mix of flavours and atmosphere, the English balladeer, the klezmer music from Eastern Europe, the... Bard of Bodmin and poetry from right here in Falmouth. And we'll see you again in a bit, but enjoy your meal. Let's take a little break and go down and have a chat with Ray about what the main course was for this year's Yuletide session. Okay, moving on, as we segue through a few more performances and some more lovely music, we end up with the main course, I think.
So it was a chicken thigh-based dish. It was with clementines and fennel, but it was marinated overnight the night before. The chicken with the slices of clementine and the fennel, all marinated in... our equivalent's perno, but it was like arak is the Arabic version, which is basically a kind of it's a kind of aniseedy flavour which goes along with the fennel, and there's mustard in there. There was actually no garlic. I realised afterwards the whole menu was garlic free, which is quite rare for my cooking. But yeah, so there was mustard seeds, what else did we put in there, coriander seeds again, and it was marinated overnight, so all of those flavours permeate, and it also starts to break down the meat a little so that it's really tender then, hopefully, when it comes to cooking it. So then the next day, on the day of the performance, we roasted the fennel and the clementines and the chicken all together, and the perno, and there's a bit of brown sugar in there, really helps to caramelise it all, so it gets gorgeous golden top on,
right.
On the meat.
Sweet too.
Yeah, quite sweet dish. It's a lot of Arabic cooking is very sweet. Even their savoury dishes are very sweet compared to British cooking, which is probably one of the main differences, really. But yeah, so that all got marinated. And then we served that with Egyptian rice, which is three parts that come together right at the end. So there was a mixture of wild rice and basmati. Wild can be a little bit too heavy and nutty, so it's quite nice to mix those, and then it looks pretty too. So there was some onions which we shallow fried so that they went really super crispy. They're sliced really, really thinly. And then chickpeas, which were just cut off gently and very lightly spiced, and so that all comes together just as we serve it. And then of course the chicken, the sauce, once the chicken's roasted, comes out of the chicken, and then that gets reduced and by about a third, so that's nice and shiny and more intense flavours there, and then that gets drizzled over and sprinkled with fresh coriander.
Wow.
Yes.
And you better touch on the vegetarian option that you offered as well,
yes,
kind of luscious figs, that's what I had.
Yeah, that went down well as well, apparently. Again, it was the Egyptian rice as a base, and then we did a smoked aubergine kind of sauce with roasted sweet potatoes and then fresh figs and a little bit of bouche rouffec, which is a goat's cheese.
Bouche rouffec is a very fancy way of saying goat's cheese.
Yes, it's a certain type of goat's cheese, of course. And yeah, so that was the vegetarian option.
We'll go back upstairs now and listen to some more poetry, music and stories at this year's Yuletide Sessions, held at the Courtyard Deli. This is The Source FM 96.1. Back to something a little more reflective and a little more full of life and so on. Would you welcome back Rob Barrett, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello again. Well, what I'd like to do, I want to talk to you about the furniture, because it's nice furniture in here. And the poem I'm going to do is about furniture. And it was in Honiton, which is like the antique capital of East Devon or something. And I bought this little mirror with distressed framework. And I've always been amused by this idea that you could have distressed furniture. And I pictured all the furniture in my house with emotional and behavioural difficulties. It's funny, actually, because my daughter Grace, she used to work at the beach hut down at Watergate Bay. I don't know if you know that, Donna. She worked there many summers. And in the hotel, at Watergate Bay Hotel, an elderly couple came down to reception one day to complain about the furniture in their room. They said it was stained. And it was just distressed furniture. A little bit of singing at the end, please join in. My furniture is all distressed, it's unusually unstable. The oak bookcase is quite depressed, as is the coffee table. The worktop has a thin veneer, it seethes beneath the surface. The taps know how low they can sink and think life has no purpose. The painted window frame's been stripped of dignity. It's lacquered.
The blue front door's morale has dipped. The cheese board is cream-crackered. The writing bureau doesn't give a jot. The cupboard suffers mockery. It hates the plates and has no mates. It misuses jugs and crockery. The settle never settles, and the new desk is neurotic. The chaise longue is invariably wrong. The sofa is psychotic. The fait pouffet is apt to weep. It's covered in wet tissues. The rocking chair, it never sleeps. The magazine rack has big issues. The mirror, which reflects, neglects the fine wine rack, which whines. The shelves themselves lack shelf respect. The dining table pines. The mantelpiece has no mantelpiece. It's fired up with wrath. The wood burner has lost its spark. The wardrobe is a goth. The exposed beams aren't what they seem. The ceiling's always plastered. The landing has a manic stare. It's an evil little bastard. The piano's case isn't black and white. The floorboards feel downtrodden. The dressing table's dressed to kill. The minibar is sodden. The otter man is not a man. But it's no couch potato. The teak footstool's a crazy fool who quotes in Greek from Plato. Yes, my furniture is all distressed, but they've reason for concern. Oh, I must get it off my chest. Tomorrow, they will burn. I once had the best furniture, but it got distressed. So I lit a fire. Isn't it good? Norwegian wood. Thank you very much.
Short and sweet. Short and sweet, ladies and gentlemen. So, without further ado, let's not listen to me anymore. It's Helen and Arthur Speer.
I should point out that they're siblings, not spouses.
Oh! It never crossed my mind that anyone might think.
Thanks, Dad.
They're both available.
Thank you for that clarification.
Are you a share?
What?
A share?
Right, okay.
Like an S-H-E-R, not like a you have some of this now. Yeah.
Thank you.
Cheers. You have to excuse the button that sticks sometimes. I've talked to it, but it doesn't quite worked out how not to do it.
I've got a zip that sticks. Well, clearly, it's proof positive that two people from the same gene pool add up to more than the sum of their parts.
Not for legal reasons.
When we figure that one out, we'll get back to you.
We come from the wrong part of Cornwall for that joke to work.
Oh. Oh, don't get all Cornish on me.
Over there.
Fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to reintroduce Penelope Shuttle. Yes.
In Cornish, owl is Ulla, star is Steren, Piscador is a fisherman, Morab is his coast, his rainbow is Camnevis, his door is Darras, Moor is his sea, Law is his moon, his ear is Scovan, his eye is Lagus, his eyes are Dulagus, Bledgen is his flower, his summer is half, Hunros is his dream. There is more to his lost language than can fit on a tourist tea towel. That's one of the first things I noticed when I came to live in Cornwall in 1970, that there was this ghost language, particularly in place names. And I just think the words are so lovely. And this next poem is called Machine. And it was a real pleasure to me that scary little girls who do wonderful walks through towns, they did one in Falmouth, and I had my poem read by an actor in Wilkinson's, and he was dressed in the Wilkinson's uniform. And you'll see when I read the poem, he had one of those price guns that he used as a prop during it. What you do in the Scary Little Girls Walks, they give you an itinerary and you follow it through, and then there'll be an actor placed, and then they see you come to walk. You'll be wearing a little motif so they know these are people I'm going to say the poem to. But this guy, because he's dressed as a Wilkinson's salesperson, just as my friend and I approached him, somebody else came along and said, "Oh, where are the towels? Where are the saucepans?" And he said, "Sorry, I'm not working here. I'm acting." I mean, this is the poem that he did, so it was lovely for me. Machine. I invent a machine for grading kisses on an approximate scale of 1 to 20, rising from 1, the air kiss on the social cheek, to the routine kiss, 4, exchanged by a pair of experienced adulterers. The unskilled but energetic kisses, 9, of adolescence, the nose kiss, 12, given to a weary old cat, the French kiss, 14, people are giving other people all over the world, to 20, the fieriest Don Juan kiss in all Seville. But kisses the old Soviets gave on the May Day parade dais in Moscow, kisses leaving a trail of destruction in their wake, are unacceptable. This machine does not have a Judas function. Take those anti-kisses away. To the eager petite machine, didn't I say you carry it in your pocket like a blackberry? I bring 2 kisses, our first, our last. The machine's dial tells me they are of equal value, grades them beyond grading. There will always be off-the-scale kisses like this, I realise, if we are lucky, if we are bereft. And I'm going to close with a poem about posting stuff, because that's what's going on, Christmas posting stuff. But some years ago I was looking something up in a Royal Mail leaflet, and I came across a list of things that the Royal Mail forbid you to post. They're absolutely adamant. You must not send these items through the post. And so I thought I'd do some variations on that. And so this is things you can't post. No prohibited drugs. No living creatures. Pigeons make their own arrangements. No explosives, matches, banknotes, unless of obsolete items. No filth. No cathedrals, no oceans, no thunders, no lightnings, nothing flammable and or obscene. No ghosts, no trains, no dry ice, no life-size lighthouses, no mortepoix. You may post hope and slowly fading emotions, biscuits, flowers. You may post all the opposites of filth, almost all the varieties of the fragile, no fragile filth. It's filth that the post office really hates. It's there in the list. Unspecified filth. Anyway, you may post keys, you may post locks, maps and all that which must not bend. By all means, post concertinas, violins, flutes. You can't post pathogens in hazard group 4, museum corridors or false alibis, air pockets or the essence of Zen, or a comet or a moonbeam or a huge mirror intended to be sent up into the sky to reflect sunlight on the winter cities of Russia, or filth. You may post torn hair, rent garments, a tape of size. You can post pleasure, displeasure, or benediction, send it by land, air, or sea. You may post a substance you know or believe to be capable of prolonging life indefinitely. This item will be impounded like filth. You can't post anything infrared or that sharp. No ports of call or rivers, however small. You can't remember, post me. I can't post you. But you may post as many kisses as you think necessary. Kisses are no longer regarded as filth. But post nothing irretrievably precious, nothing that might act in real or apparent defiance of gravity, nothing that might lead to the conscription of all men between the ages of 16 and 45, nothing with its enormous forepaw raised in menace, and its head turned towards the observer, nothing that squelches, nothing that moans, nothing so shadowy it may not be grasped for delivery, no feculence, no cloaca, no filth.
Penelope Shuttle, ladies and gentlemen, fantastic, thank you. I'll be down the post office tomorrow. Get my filth and my kisses going. How about another tune from Dan O'Shea before we bring up your pudding?
Dan O'Shea.
In my other job as a blacksmith, occasional blacksmith nowadays, I did once have an occasion where I went to a post office with a parcel and I was thinking, I really hope they don't ask what's in this parcel. And they put the label on it, and they said, what is this anyway? I said, oh, I'd rather not say. And they were like, is it rude? I was like, no. Is it a cricket bat? No. And luckily, they didn't figure it out, but I was posting a sword that I'd made to somebody. As far as I know, they're not forbidden. You can send a sword in the post as long as it's well wrapped. I've brought my bouzouki along, because Mac insists that I'm a bouzouki player. So I'm gonna do a poem, actually, on a bouzouki. It's a W.B. Yeats poem, and it's been put to music. But first, I was just thinking, occasionally I feel a bit of a fraud. Folk musicians, right? It somehow implies hedge musicians or something like that. And my friend once said to me that he'd never trust a folk surgeon. I told him I wouldn't trust a jazz surgeon either. Anyway. Jazz musicians can tune their instruments better than I can. As I went down to the hazel wood, because the fire was in my head, I cut and peeled a hazel wand and hooked a berry on a thread. When white moths were on the wing and moth-like stars are flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. When I lay it on the ground, I
and turn to blow the fire aflame. Something rustled on the wind and someone called me by my name. It had become a glimmering girl, apple blossom in her hair. And she called me by my name and ran and danced through the brightening air. Though I'm old from wandering through hollow land and hilly land, I will find where she is gone and kiss her lips and take her hand and walk among long dappled grass and pluck till time and times are done. Silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun. As I went down to the hazel wood, because a fire was in my head, I cut and peeled a hazel wand and hooked a berry on a thread.
Dan O'Shea.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened for your supper, so enjoy your dessert. Let's not forget the pudding and find out what Ray had in mind with the little memory aid from Laura down in the kitchen.
People were surprised by the
pudding at the end.
Yes.
Which was delicious, I have to say.
The fig and
date. The truffles.
Truffles, yeah.
Yeah, they were great. Go on, tell me what they were.
Fig and date balsamic truffle. I might have to grab Laura. What were the other two things on the pudding?
It was the phyllo pastry mince pies. Wow. I can't remember what the other one was.
The phyllo mince pies made with our quince mincemeat as well. Quince is, although very, very British, 50, 100 years ago, are now much more Arabic. Which is odd. I guess they probably, maybe we brought them back from there when we were fighting some war or conquering some country or something. But they've kind of gone out of fashion here. And it's a beautiful fruit. It has to be cooked. I guess that's why they made marmalade out of it. And we sell quince cheese. Quite bitter, like cooking apples. But when it's cooked, it's a lot more fragrant. But it grows in a similar way. And that's why we could grow it so well in this country. Because you can have orchards and quite often they'd have a lot of quince as well as a lot of apples. But now it's very expensive. It's a really expensive fruit, and they're quite often they come from Turkey. But yeah, they're beautiful. They're well worth a look in. Can you remember what the third thing was?
It was the shortbread, little shortbread things with the yeah.
Yes.
What's it called?
Graiber, which means to swoon.
To swoon.
Yeah. So they're little tiny Arabic shortbreads, and they're very short, and then these ones we flavoured them with cardamom and clove and a little bit of orange blossom.
Lovely.
Yeah.
All right, well, that all sounds fantastic. I'm really glad I had it now. See, I feel even better for you describing it in that way. We better get back to some of the performances, but Ray, thanks so much for filling us in on what filled us up, and Laura, you too, we better get back on with the show. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Thank you, Mac. Cheers.
We'll go back upstairs now and listen to some more poetry, music and stories at this year's Yuletide Sessions, held at the Courtyard Deli. This is The Source FM 96.1.
How about we have another few words from Penny Shuttle while we're all here.
I wish I liked green tea more, so good for the health. I wish I liked its bitter, wishy-washy taste, its mouse-dropping smell. I wish green tea didn't make me heave. I like builder's tea, punchy on the tongue, but friendly. Homely as all my auntie's kitchens and parlours. I like Earl and Jane Grey with their very good manners. I like black tea, especially when steeped in a fancy French muslin posy. I almost like chamomile tea, but please don't bring me any more green tea. So good for the health, so I'm told.
All right.
I'm going to read one poem about London and then one about Ireland. Visiting London. To explore London and survive, you need a good A to Z, a map of tube and bus routes, a bottle of water, common sense, a pair of hard eyes, a full purse, a lion's confidence. To explore London, you don't need a smile or a rope ladder or a mosquito net. You don't need to take a course of anti-malarials nor carry your belongings in a red spotted handkerchief. To explore London, you'll need sturdy shoes, for you'll spend many hours walking in wrong directions. You'll need to like the Thames enough to cross many, if not all, of its bridges. And you'll need luck, but you need that in any city. To know London inside out and back to front, you have to leave London. You might come back, you might not. No worries, says that mighty heart. London's not going anywhere. And of course we've been talking about Armagh. This is a poem from Ireland, but it's Galway, and the river there is the Claddagh, and that's the Claddagh is also the symbol that's on the ring of the two hands. Last. White swans of the Claddagh. White swans of the Claddagh take flight across Nun's Island. The bay sighs and frets. Hand clasps of cloud part, high-strung waters of the Corrib shoulder in under O'Brien's bridge. The singing city turns round and round in its basket of bakery smells, daily bread quick with cinnamon, starry with almonds and raisins, bon secours all along airy Middle Street and worldly wise Flood Street. And as in my dream about death when I was 7 years old, leaving the world never seemed easier or lovelier for a moment, but only for a moment, no matter how hard I wish the illusion to hold fast. Instead, the little broad and narrow streets gather me along, tide me over. They know me better than I know myself, lead me as if by chance, but there is no such thing as chance, to the impasse of a quiet alleyway. Leave me here without a thought to my name in the singing swansong city.
That's brilliant. Well, we could go on all night, really. But I don't know.
268 pages in that.
268. All right. Thing is, all the performers haven't actually eaten yet. I've been saving that for when the show is over. So I think I should say something, a couple of things. I'd like to thank, first of all, Annie Lovejoy, who's sat in the chair here. Yeah. It was my collaborator in the Caravanserai project. And Annie's done a lot, publicity and posters and so on, and been very supportive. Also, I'd like to thank Debbie Walker for coming, where we have our Caravanserai events in the summer. And letting us carry on entertaining people over there with local talent, such as you've seen tonight. And that's about it from me. Thank you for putting up with my my delirious state, my feverish opinions, and so on. But I would another be remiss.
Poem.
Another poem. All right. Okay. This is one I always think of whenever Debbie's around, because she always says she likes it. My brother flew over the other day to show off his angel wings. I thought they were a bit chintzy myself. He got them cheap somewhere over in Wales, where the aerospace industries have hit hard times. Sure, everybody wants to fly for cheap these days. Forget the frilly bits. Just make sure the damn thing doesn't fall out of the sky. Anyway, he was proud as peaches about these darned wings. Hadn't even taken them out of the box. They were still wrapped up in cellophane with stiff cardboard bits supporting the fold. And I said, haven't you even tried them on yet? And he said, well, no, I'm taking them home first. I got another pair out in the car. And I thought, he's got another pair. He's not taking them home. What is he, like some kind of millionaire all of a sudden? won the lottery, died and gone to heaven. Maybe they give you a second pair of wings while the others are at the cleaners. Anyway, I admit, I was feeling a little jealous. Sure, they were the worst wings I'd ever seen, oh my God. But, you know, I would have worn them if he'd given me a pair. Yeah, my brother bought me these stupid wings. Jesus. Family. Yeah. Anyway, after he'd seen enough of the look on my face, he said he had to get going. And so I followed him out to the car. And he opened up the boot. And you should have seen these wings expand out of there like some kind of slow motion airbag or something. These were the biggest wings you had ever seen. And they were beautiful. They were colors of peacock orange and purples and autumnal reds. These were like the wings to die for. And I said, "That's your other pair?" And he said, "Well, actually, I'm giving these to my partner. Because I just wanted to say a little something. You know, it's like better than a ring, right?" And I said, "Yeah, it's better than a ring." Anyway, we hugged, promised not to leave it so long next time. And as he drove off down the road, we were waving each other goodbye. And a few loose feathers tumbled onto the pavement right there beside me. I looked around to make sure nobody was watching. I picked those feathers up, I stuck them in my pocket, and I took them back inside. That's a true story. Helen and Arthur Spear, ladies and gentlemen. Penelope Shuttle. How about that? Great stuff. Amazing. A real treat. Dan O'Shea. Balladeer extraordinaire. I'm going to stop saying bazooki player. It just sounds weird.
I own one.
You own one, okay. Don't be so reserved. And of course, Rob Barrett. The nearly Bard of Armagh. My name's Mac Dunlop. I'd like to thank Ray and the Courtyard Deli for putting this on. I hope you'll come again. I'm sure the food is fantastic. It looks gorgeous. And anyway, thank you all for coming. This will be the last you hear from me, and this is The Source FM 96.1.